and welcome to the MBOM podcast, where you'll learn to master the business of yoga. MBOM is a proud part of the Wander Barn Podcast Network, and I'm your host, Amanda Kingsmith. I'm a 500-hour registered yoga teacher, a yoga business coach, and a total business geek. Here at MBOM, you'll learn everything you need to know to create a sustainable yoga business by learning from myself and guests from around the world about how they built their yoga businesses. And about how you too can become a successful yoga teacher, studio owner, and much more. All right, let's dive in. Hello, everyone, and welcome back for another episode of the MBOM podcast. I'm really excited that you're joining me for today's episode of the show. And this week on the podcast, I am joined by Tim Green. Tim is the head of marketing for TeamUp, the most recommended fitness management system for gyms, studios, and personal trainers. And with over 20 years of experience in marketing and helping fitness business owners run their businesses, he has a unique perspective on how to achieve success and thrive in the ever-evolving fitness industry. And in this episode, Tim and I discuss best marketing practices for yoga studios and yoga teachers, as well as trends he's seen for 2022 and how you as a yoga teacher can take advantage of those and hopefully thrive in your yoga business this year. The yoga industry has gone through such a huge pivot over the last 2 years with the pandemic, and things have just been very, very intense for a lot of us as business owners, and there's been a lot of shifting and whatnot. And so being able to talk to Tim with all of his experience with TeamUp and just the things that he's seen from the businesses that he works with was really exciting and enlightening and gave me a lot of, you know, interesting ideas for this upcoming year. So I hope that you feel the same way, and I hope that you really enjoy this episode of the show. Before we get into it, I just want to give a quick little shout out to today's sponsor, Offering Tree. You've heard me talk about Offering Tree a lot over the last couple of years, and it's because I truly, truly love them as a software and as a business. But I'm not the only one that loves them. So I wanted to read you a testimonial from Vicky, who's a yoga teacher and studio owner based in California. Here's what she had to say. Offering Tree has enabled us to make a remarkably smooth transition to operating as a virtual studio. Today's online class had 51 students with very little friction or issue. I earned as much from the 8 drop-ins as I do from a different class I teach with 20 plus students, to say nothing of the revenue I'm earning from the class passes I sell on Offering Tree. So if this doesn't speak wonders for the power of Offering Tree and just how simple it is to set up and start running your classes online or in person, whatever is best for you, I don't know what does. I'll tell you a bit more about Offering Tree a little bit later on in the episode, but for now, make sure you go check them out, offeringtree.com/MBOM, and let's get into the episode. Without further ado, here is Tim. Welcome to the podcast today, Tim. I'm really excited to have you here with me today.
It's great to be here. Thanks for having me, Amanda.
Yeah. And can you tell myself and listeners where you're joining us from today?
I'm actually joining this from not sunny Spain, although my accent is English.
Okay. Do you live in Spain full time or just part of the year?
I live here full time with my four not so young children. And I've been here for about 6 years. So the luxury of a remote company.
Yeah. Yeah. That's amazing. I'm Canadian, but I live in Mexico. So sort of similar, just across the ocean.
I imagine with a little bit more sunshine at the moment.
Yes. Yes. We're lucky that we get like a pretty well year round temperate weather here in Mexico.
That's amazing. Yeah. At this moment, I'm very jealous.
Yeah, for sure. Amazing. Well, I'm excited to dive in with you. I was thinking a good place to start is, can you just tell me a bit about yourself, what you do, your background, all of that good stuff?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I'm a 20-year-old. I'm 20 years into marketing. Unfortunately, not 20 years old. I've been doing marketing for a very long time, and I currently head up marketing at TeamUp, which is a studio management system that helps yoga studio owners and other fitness business owners around the world.
How did you get into all of that?
Well, it was a very traditional route at this point, I think, of I worked in consumer marketing, primarily in cosmetics. And when my second daughter was born, I wanted to get fit. It just happened that I met a fitness coach who was in the next bed to us in the hospital when she was born. And then I walked into a gym randomly a little bit after that, and he was sitting behind the desk. So that kind of actually started me down a really traditional route of becoming really interested in fitness myself, and then kind of falling in love with like the people behind it and the ethos and just really like the camaraderie and the desire to kind of to help people. And coming from cosmetics, which is very much about trying to identify needs that that people don't really know they have. And so more working at kind of at a slightly higher level of want, it was really fascinating to me to find that you've got this industry of teachers who are really, really passionate about what they do and really want to help people. But actually, particularly at that point, and I think the industry has come along a lot now, but they were really not focused on marketing or running their businesses really efficiently. And coming from cosmetics, that was a really, it was such a drastic difference. And so I started helping some studio owners and some gym owners, and that roster started to grow. And then we hit like a wall, and I had like a marketing company and had kind of 60 or more kind of studio owners that I was working with. But it was the industry was changing at that point, so people needed booking. And so I ended up finding Team Up and joining with them in the very early days of them launching. And the rest is history.
Yeah, that's amazing. And amazing that you were running, you know, a business with like 60 studio clients. And so when you say you kind of hit a wall, was it just like too many people you were working with, or you couldn't continue to serve them in the way that you wanted? Like, what was kind of that catalyst for shifting from your own business to joining Team Up?
Yeah, it was very interesting, because I tried to, my mentality in those days was very much trying to do everything myself. And I really was very unsuccessful at trying to shift my business from me running and doing everything to being able to then have like a team around it. So I was like, my mentality at that point was like your ultimate lone ranger. And which worked really well then for the Team Up in the early days, because, you know, I was simultaneously kind of doing marketing, sales, whatever it was, you know, as a small startup. Those skills kind of went forward. But for my own business, it was very challenging, because I was overloaded. And actually, at those days, I'd regularly work for all night, you know, kind of work till 6 or 7 a.m. and then get up and take kids to school and things like that. And it was just become quite an unsustainable formula. However well it was going on the outside, it was not really functional.
Yeah, for sure. I can imagine that would get exhausting. I mean, I think there's only so long that we can kind of work as like a one man or a one woman show, especially as we're growing a lot, until it's kind of like, hey, there's actually only so many hours in a day, and I do need to like eat and sleep at some point. And then obviously, you know, we take away from those things, and then that can cause resentment in our business, unhealthy, you know, lifestyle, that type of thing. So it sounds like it was a good time to make that shift.
Yeah, it was definitely, as I was coming out of my 20s at that point, it was definitely good. I think, you know, in my early 20s, that energy was available, you know. And, you know, then I kind of was waking up with four young children, and suddenly, you know, the house of cards was collapsing, perhaps.
Yeah, for sure. And so can you tell me a little bit about Team Up and what you guys do? I know you mentioned that you work with studio owners, that type of thing, but can you tell me in a little more detail kind of like what Team Up does for studios?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we started as a simple booking system, and then we've grown into a full business management platform. So what we primarily do is link together all the important parts of your business and reduce the tedious and draining admin, probably some of that help I could have done with in those days. And what we do is we provide simple and really easy to use tools that enable studio owners and other business owners to manage all the important parts of their business and the relationship with their clients.
Yeah, that's amazing. And can you walk me through like kind of some of those important parts that studio owners need? Because I think that, you know, I'd love to dive into a little bit like, you know, how you guys support studio owners and just some of the top things that people need to know as studio owners. But I think there's a lot of people who really want to maybe open a studio, whether or not it's in their basement or in their loft or get a small space or maybe do something that's more traditionally bigger, yet they're not sure like where to get started or what they need, like what they should actually spend money on, what they should kind of DIY and that type of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we're in an amazing time right now, you know, where we have a lot of new entrants to the market and a lot of people have decided to leave perhaps their traditional job or maybe circumstances have changed and they need a new opportunity. And I think particularly in the yoga industry, it's seen as something people are very highly passionate about and maybe a dream that people have always held, you know, before they, which they want to switch their career and do something they really love helping people. But a lot of new entrants, a lot of new teachers don't have the business skills to really structure things properly. And they probably fall in the trap of my 20-year-old self. You know, they start being really successful at helping clients. And then as their client roster grows, they start personally struggling with the amount of small admin tasks and the complexity really of running the businesses. And what really amazes me is, and has always amazed me, is how complicated businesses like yoga studios are and yoga practices, where from the outside, it all seems so simple. You know, you have, you know, a class and yoga mats and people attend the class and they pay for the class and everything seems really fine. But if you actually get on the inside of it, it's amazing the complexity, the different timings involved and making sure you collect payments on time, making sure people go to the correct classes and can change class if they can't make one class, they move to another one and, you know, go on a waiting list for a class if they really want to go to a spot and somebody else is the class is already full. And then it's like, you know, following up, you know, checking your bank statement, making sure that payments have been made, taking cash, which means that if people don't turn up, you don't have any guarantee of earning from the class. And then the empty spaces that mean that actually your profitability is constantly being undermined because but really in such a small way that you barely notice it. And it's kind of all those different things that come together. And what software can do is help you handle all of those. And then you can like bring your focus back to, first of all, what you're really passionate about doing, which is helping people in class. And then also allow you more time to focus on developing the business and stepping back a little bit and thinking about things in a broader way. You know, what do I really want to do? Where do I want to take my business? You know, where are the real opportunities? And of course, personal time and allowing yourself to recharge rather than just being go all the time. And I think that, you know, with software, you find that it's a bit like a yoga business. It seems really simple from the outside. So you think, well, it's just, you know, I don't really need that because I've got things covered. You know, I know all the bits and I'm better at doing all these things and it's more straightforward. But what software does is it just automates and takes away the constant drain of you of all the little things you need to remember and hold on to and never let go of. And you end up kind of lying there awake at night, you know, remembering something that you'd forgotten earlier in the day. And of course, once you have the confidence and the reassurance of software, you know that all the payments have been made, all the payments have been covered, and you can log in and you'll know that everything is orderly and you'll know exactly what you need to do in order to address the issues that actually need your time rather than using up your time on everything. So in terms of like what software the process the software helps with is probably best illustrated in terms of the customer journey of a yoga client. And so if we think in terms of somebody has woken up thinking that they want to make a change in their life, or they want to try something new, and they've searched online and they've found your studio or your classes, they've gone to your website or gone to your social, they click to book, whether it's on your website, or whether it's via book buttons on Facebook, or via an ad you've placed, or just a post you made perhaps, they're then taken through to a really straightforward and welcoming customer experience that they feel really comfortable, but it's professional. So they feel really reassured that they're signing up to something legitimate. They select a class they want. They can see all the availability and understand like how the business works. They can see descriptions and all the things that you need to do. They then click through to the class and they make payments. They either decide at that point to purchase one of your packages, or they perhaps do a trial class if that's something you've built into your business. They then get all the right notifications and are taken, with calendar reminders or any other automations you've set up. So they get welcome emails or all of the kind of the automation of the communication around that. And then before class day, they might get a reminder an hour before to make sure that they turn up to the class. They turn up and they feel really reassured that they have their place, which is a really big thing, actually, is having booking for your business means that it's not just about you knowing that a customer will turn up. It's about them feeling reassured that they have reserved the place and they have a right to be there. And particularly for new customers, it's such a huge part of whether they actually turn up on that first day, because we all know that feeling. I always liken it to when cinemas didn't used to have booking, and you used to go, there was a new release and you knew that if you didn't turn up, half an hour or an hour before the film, then you might miss the queue, or you'll be at the back of the queue. And as an English person, that's absolutely excruciating. I'm not sure that's entirely for that, but I can promise you that it's an excruciating thing. And I always remember that feeling, and just in some ways you don't want to go, because I'm a little bit too late now and I probably missed it and I probably won't get my space. And booking is just like that. It's all about that reassurance and trust and professionalism, and people then feel, I've turned up, that's my place, I'm going to turn up to class. They turn up and they're welcomed. You know their first name already when they turn up. You've been told that it's their first class. So you know that that's, even if it's one of your teachers that works for you, or whether it's yourself, you know that they're going to get consistent and welcoming experience. And so when they come in, then it's, oh, yes, we're waiting for you. How's it going? I know it's your first class. Don't worry. Everything's really scalable and, you're going to have a great time. They've already answered any safety questions or experience questions that you need before they turn up. They've signed any waivers. They've made all the payments. So it means that when they turn up, your focus is entirely on them. It's not on paperwork and admin and, stuff that just takes away from what they're really there to do, which is to connect with you, to connect with your community, the class. And the same goes for online, of course, which is, in online, we're having to fight even harder to try and replicate that friendly, welcoming experience. And the last thing we want to do is somehow have some payment conversations or admin paperwork, get in the way of that at all. So they then enjoy the class. They have a wonderful time. It's all started off in the right way. They already understand, they've already had the account and the options. So you can easily automatically follow up with them after the class, ask them how it was, direct them towards your other membership options. And equally, you've saved all your time at the end of class time to speak with them and to find out more about them, build the connection, and hopefully direct them forward to being a long-term happy customer. And then really from the business side, you have that reassurance of seeing who's going to be in the class, having the information, but it's also about knowing that, particularly with online payments, and I'd 100% recommend that every business owner switches and only uses online payments. Sometimes I mean, with the last couple of years, actually things have switched a lot more. But before then, there were still a lot of teachers taking cash at the beginning of class. And there's a real problem, which would be great to talk about a little bit later, you know, which is about the commoditization of classes and how giving a better experience can help you rise above the competition, and particularly help you rise above other online, yoga offerings, you know, cheap monthly apps, and people kind of are sold the vision that it's going to do everything that a real yoga class would do. But really it's just about managing the business in a really structured and careful way. And it's replicating all the best bits that you already do in your business or should be doing in your business, but it's bringing it all into one place. So you've got the confidence to make the bigger decisions about your business.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing all of that. That's such good stuff. And I think there's a couple like key things that kind of stand out to me in my mind. And one of them is like, sometimes we think about these systems or these softwares as like really supporting us in the business. But I feel like you just clearly walked through like how this can also really support your student. And I think that as yoga studio owners, we really want to think about how we can create the best experience for our student. It's not just about like, you know, what makes my admin time less or what makes things easiest for me. Of course, this is something we should consider because then we can really focus on, you know, our students and teaching great classes and being great, you know, yoga teachers and yoga studio owners. But also, I feel like you really kind of exemplified how the experience can just be a lot easier for the student and just a lot more pleasant by having these automations and having these systems. So that's really awesome. And then the other thing that I wanted to dive into that you touched on was just how things have really shifted over the last couple of years. And as you were talking about cash, I was just thinking about how I work with a couple different studios, and particularly like the one that I work with in Canada was certainly doing, you know, we have software and systems, but we were certainly taking, you know, cash payments and stuff, like taking cash for mat rentals or people just dropping in and maybe just like paying a 20 for the drop-in class mm-hmm. or whatever it was. We really didn't have a system of online bookings or like a culture of online bookings at the studio. And now that's something that's really shifted. And one of the things that I've seen from it that I think has been, you know, a really positive of the pandemic has been, you know, we don't have to chase students for payments because people like people are required to register beforehand to come in person because they need to save their spot and stuff. Cause now we have, you know, capacity rules and we've got COVID restrictions and stuff like that. And, you know, it's been really nice as somebody who works kind of on the management side that I don't have to like chase students for payments after. And I think it makes it a lot easier for the teachers too. Like the student comes in and they can spend their time like greeting the student, asking them about their practice rather than, you know, getting their payment sorted because all of that's already been done online. So maybe we can dive into a little bit about that and a little bit about like maybe some of the other like changes and trends you've seen over the last couple of years, you know, with all the big shifts that have happened globally.
Yeah. And the amazing thing is that, you know, really the students prefer it so much. And the only reason that people like cash and students have liked cash is because they're the kind of customer who wants to decide on the day whether they're going to turn up to the class. And what we do then is we kind of take away from your best students, you know, your ideal customers, the ones who want to commit and want to have a long term and you know, kind of a deeper relationship with your studio where they see the benefits, that they really understand the benefits they're getting and they commit for the long term. And of course, those are the customers that have the best lifetime value. And over time, and the more of those you can get, the more profitable you'll be, and the better your community. So I think it's almost like a fallacy that we see all customers in the same way, and allowing cash, allowing drop-ins, actually undermines the experience of those longer-term customers because there's less exclusivity. And there's less of a feel that everybody is as committed as each other and part of the community. And that's not to take away from being flexible. You know, it's not to make it hard for people to engage. It's more just switching the priorities so that You first of all prioritize the best students, and then secondly, create ways that don't undermine your business model. So, for example, if drop-ins are important, and I think depending on your demographics, for younger audiences, they want more flexibility. So the older audiences are really happy knowing, that I come on Tuesday and Thursday, and that's my class and that's my spot, and they're really happy with that. And so it's good to, it's great to cater for those people. But there are young people as well who maybe have more less flexibility in their career schedule, who do want to be a bit more flexible. And of course, you can offer paid packs, so 10 packs of classes or even less. But by doing that, it means that they've had to make some commitments. They've prepaid for the class. It means they have to turn up to the class, or they'll lose their credit when they booked. And so it's an important shift in mentality that everybody has accountability for the classes that they're registering for. And everybody, it pushes people towards a booking system, which means that you get much more orderly, and you're able to then use reporting to understand the trends in your class. So I think primarily it's really the best customers love it because they value what you do. And any customer that is complaining about not just being able to turn up on the day, they're probably outside of where your target audience is anyway, or certainly you might want to consider whether they are.
Yeah, for sure.
It can vary. So that's very much like a North America, kind of Northern Europe mentality. I mean, I've certainly seen differences in different countries. So in Spain, for example, there really is much more of a culture of casual payments, cash, non-prepayments, or maybe just turning up and paying for a month in cash. So obviously you need to tailor your experience to where you are. But generally, even say in Spain, the best run businesses and the most successful businesses have figured out that they'll get the best customers by having the most clear and straightforward systems. And it's another way that you can differentiate yourself. So having a great customer experience, having a delightful customer experience where people enjoy booking in and know how easy it is to manage their relationship with you, is just it's a vital part of standing apart from your competition.
Hey, yoga teachers, we're just taking a quick break from the podcast to talk a little bit more about OfferingTree. If you've been teaching free yoga classes for a while, it might be time to start charging. I know when you hear that, you might cringe a little bit inside. It can be super scary to take the leap to charging for your yoga classes. But here's a way that you can bridge the gap and transition from teaching free to paid classes. And it keeps your yoga classes accessible for everyone. If you're teaching free classes, I recommend giving people the option to pay you. This is really easy to set up an OfferingTree. OfferingTree is the website and software platform I recommend to anyone who's looking to grow their yoga or wellness business. With OfferingTree, you can offer both donation-based and sliding scale payment options for your yoga classes. That means that your students can choose an amount that feels right for them or pick from a few different pricing options that you've laid out. Instead of receiving random PayPal or Venmo deposits as donations for your free classes, now everything is in one place with OfferingTree. The best part about this is that it's super, super easy to set up, and you can do it right from the same place where you enter your regular price. So whether your class is going to be free, $20, or you want to set sliding scale, it is super, super easy to set up. I'm partnering with OfferingTree to offer a special discount to you, my listeners. If you're looking for a scheduling tool or website that's easy enough for you to set up yourself, go to offeringtree.com/MBOM for a 15% discount off 1 year of OfferingTree or 15% off the first 3 months. Once again, that's offeringtree.com/MBOM. All right, now back to the episode.
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny that you mentioned, just the cultural difference, because I feel like for that studio I mentioned, we have an older demographic. So I think there was definitely like some growing pains with the technology, but that came in multiple facets. Like that came not just in terms of like, oh, now they actually have to learn our booking software because, you know, they've done everything in the studio up to this point. They've just showed up for classes, but also like, you know, they had to learn Zoom and all those types of things. And we were able to support with that. And now everyone's doing really great. Like they understand the processes and stuff. So I feel like there was just a little bit of like, you know, we just have to create some videos and some emails to support them. And we were able to do that. And I'm talking like a demographic that's probably, you know, mid 50s to mid 70s. So people who really are, have not, you know, grown up with this in the way that like the younger generations have. But then it's like, it's interesting just to contrast it culturally. You know, I mentioned that I live down in Mexico and booking systems are just not something that's done in a lot of places here. Like even outside of yoga spaces, people often do a lot of things with just like e-transfer and WhatsApp and stuff like that. And it's funny because my husband has this barber who has this really easy booking system, and all the expats love to go to him because they don't have to like send a WhatsApp message to book their appointment. And he's like, it's so funny because all of the expats use this system and all the Mexicans are like, I just want to send a message via WhatsApp. Like, I don't want to use your booking system. So there certainly is cultural differences and whatnot. And sometimes it takes a little bit of like selling people on the pros and cons when it comes to this stuff.
What a wonderful example. And a wonderful example of how, you know, having a particular type of service can attract perhaps like a segment that you didn't expect.
Yeah, 100%. It's super interesting. And so I'd love to hear a little bit about like some of maybe the other trends and changes you've seen, you know, especially through your work with studios and your work with Team Up. Like, have you seen some other sort of shifts that have taken place, like particularly with yoga studios over the last, I guess, like 2 years of this pandemic?
Well, I think the first and most obvious and biggest one is the shift to online. And I think that it's most uniquely interesting with yoga. Whereas I think with other types of fitness, other types of related industries, it has been somewhat awkward. Whereas it feels like with yoga that the shift was already well underway. And there was a more of an acceptance among clients, and obviously the generally the less need for equipment and the straightforwardness of being able to deliver classes online has played a big factor. But certainly also, you know, a big trend has been that, you know, there's increasing competition from what we can term like mainstream platforms for yoga studio owners. And what I've seen is a big commoditization of yoga in general. And this is really driven by the most bizarre outlets, you know, whether we're talking about Peloton or we're talking about Fitbit, you know, there are yoga class, almost yoga content coming out from everywhere. And the ease of delivery is a big challenge, I think, for yoga studio owners. And I think that to counter that, you know, that there's first of all, on top of that, you know, there's a lot of people are changing career paths and thinking about yoga as an aspirational and desired way to move forward, and seeing this increased competition and perhaps being put off and being worried about, you know, the amount of competition in the market and the customer perception. And so I think that that online segment is a really big shift. And what I've seen as part of that is also a change in traditional studio owners and a change in yoga customers. And hearteningly, I think that there's a really positive future for in studio classes and for personal yoga, whether it's on a group format or one-to-one or one-to-two. And fitness consumers in general, if I can coin that phrase, are, I think for 2022, the big headline for them will be about community and connection. And the the way that they want to consume their classes and engage with fitness will change a lot. And people have had like a long period of being disconnected from people around them and disconnected from their communities. The punishing changes in restaurants, bars, different areas where people normally would socialize and suddenly become very unpleasant and under strain and stressful experiences. And fitness and yoga is an area where people can feel safe. It's a safe space. It's been shown consistently that classes are not a source of any infection or any other problems. And in fact, you know, low energy activities or kind of lower energy activities are the top of the tree from the original South Korea study around that. And so therefore it's a huge opportunity and a huge trend towards being a center of a community that you build yourself. And your customers being your community and a welcoming community is a really huge opportunity. Mm-hmm. Now, yeah, I think that, you know, online and live streaming, you know, is here to stay. But there are segments within that people just are not understanding. And the kind of the broadcast mechanism, the broadcast style of, you know, 32,000 people watching a class or the pre-recorded classes are not going to be the huge trend in my mind. And I think that the, you know, dug down on the personal connection of small group classes and whether that's online or offline is going to be absolutely vital in the coming year.
Yeah, thanks for sharing all of that. I was curious your thoughts on whether or not online was here to stay. And I feel personally, just from what I'm seeing, pretty aligned with that. And I think that, like you mentioned, it was kind of something that I think we were starting to see pre-pandemic. You know, like yoga online definitely existed through YouTube, and there's quite a few like big platforms out there that existed in terms of being able to, you know, watch these pre-recorded videos. And I think it's kind of interesting to think back to a time of not doing that and maybe not considering that is, you know, could be a possibility as an independent yoga teacher or as a smaller studio. And it's actually kind of funny, that studio that I mentioned that is based in Canada, one of our most popular teachers is Italian, and she'd lived in Canada for probably about 10 years. And she moved back to Italy, I think in like the summer of 2019. So just, you know, less than a year before the pandemic. And the studio like really felt the loss of her. And when we had to shift everything online, we were like, well, why don't we bring her back on and do a couple classes a week with her? You know, like the studio is closed anyways. And even though we've been able to reopen the physical space now, we're still doing, I think, like two classes a week with her, and they're well attended. People love being able to connect with her, like, you know, across the world. Like sometimes she'll show people like her house or her backyard and that type of thing. And we were able to figure out like a good space and the technology to make sure the class is still quality. And it's kind of the type of thing where as a team, we've been like, why didn't we think of this earlier? You know, it seems so obvious once you're doing it, but it's just this thing that we just weren't really considering, I guess, as an industry prior. And with a couple studios I work with, we've had conversations about how, you know, it doesn't seem like online is going away anytime soon, and it'll probably shift and whatnot, and we might change how things are going or how we do things. But people like practicing online, I think, especially in certain capacities. Like one I think about is like early morning classes. Like I feel like there's a lot of people who kind of like rolling out of bed, making their coffee and doing their 6 a.m. class from their house with their pajamas rather than like scraping snow off their car to come to the studio. And I mean, I don't blame them. Like, why would you not want to do that? It seems like a much more enjoyable experience, at least for me personally.
Well, I definitely felt that as well, you know, during the lockdown period. So my regular classes, it was just wonderful actually being able to walk from my desk to the space I have with a mat on the floor and just start the class, and I could be there. I could leave 5 seconds before the class started and then be straight back to work afterwards. So yeah, it's a very real thing. And I see it as a hybrid thing where people are going to want a little bit of both. You know, there's like a convenience aspect to online, which doesn't quite answer the social connection, but then there's and the social connection that adds the inconvenience of travel and location and those things. So what we've really focused on is enabling studio owners to be hybrid, which is a term I'm not particularly a huge fan of. But I think that what's really reassuring for studio owners at the moment is being able to switch seamlessly between online and in person. And as we still have so much confusion in the marketplace, what we focused on is adding features to be able to switch. So you can set up like a class in a physical location, and then you could just switch the venue to an online venue if you needed to. And then customers will be able to utilize their memberships across either one of those. So you could offer them side by side, or have an online schedule and an in-person schedule, very much like as you were describing. And I think that is really successful. And it makes a lot of sense to me that studio owners would continue to have some online available, or perhaps on demand, which we also added an on-demand library, so you can host all of your content and have that as added value. But just keeping reminding customers and keeping them engaged with that process is a really good insurance policy, as well as, you know, as you gave a great example of, it seems really popular with customers as well. So it expands your audience and it keeps people engaged, and perhaps it will long-term prove to be good for retention, because people feel they can access you in lots of different ways, and they don't feel like they have to download a separate app in order to be able to catch up or keep up with their classes and their practice. So it seems like a really big and positive shift for studio owners if they embrace this in the right way. And on the other side of that, I think there's a real danger of this commoditization, where people feel like they just need to give content. And we saw a lot of studio owners over lockdown periods giving away their content for free, or running the classes for free, like it was they had a duty to do that. And I think that if anyone tries to pursue that route, they're going to really struggle in the long term, because there's always going to be somebody else offering a free class on YouTube. And if you try to compete with those types of delivery methods, you ultimately it's just a complete race to the bottom. So I think on top of that, it's just also having a reminder that it's about the benefits that people get from the classes rather than just about buying a class. And the commoditization, you always can resist commoditization if you can have something unique, or you offer a benefit that people really can take away from it. And I think that that's where these content libraries can't really compete, because all they can do is just give you stuff. They can say that they're going to solve problems, but there's no follow-up. They're not really giving that guarantee. Whereas as a studio owner, you've got that feedback mechanism and the relationship with the clients. And I think it's vital to retain that, whether it's online, in person, on demand. It's securing the future is continuing to specialize and having that personalized feel to it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel very aligned with everything that you just said. You know, right down to the fact that we need a different name for these hybrid classes, which so far hybrid classes seems like the best word for it. But if anyone out there has a better name, let us know, because I feel like we do need something. But yeah, I wanted to touch on what you said about just like trends for 2022 and maybe dive into that a bit more. But the first one that you'd mentioned in terms of this community aspect, because I think we're at this really interesting sort of time right now where, yes, people are like loving the online stuff. It is likely here to stay in some capacity. You know, obviously knowing your audience and what they want is going to be an important part of that. But, you know, lots of opportunity, like you said, for video on demand as a value add, and, you know, having these online classes. But then, you know, I think after so much time of isolation, and I guess this is kind of dependent on where you've been and what restrictions have been like, is people are really craving, you know, that in-person practice and that in-person energy and really getting back into their communities. And so I'd love to hear a little bit more about what you guys are seeing with that, and then maybe any other trends for kind of 2022 and what's studios and teachers should be on the lookout for?
Yeah, I mean, it's a very challenging time because of the changing landscape of regulations. So in terms of the, you know, getting back to class, I mean, one big trait that we've seen very successfully implemented is to shift to outdoor classes. Not so relevant for Canada at this time of year, but we certainly have seen an increase in kind of outdoor classes and outdoor spaces. So I think that it's very important to listen to customers and to try to understand, you know, what people are getting, where people feel comfortable and what they really are aiming for in their classes. Because there will be new delivery methods and locations even, which might make a lot more sense. In terms of like big trends, the industry is still reeling from the last couple of years, as several other industries are. And I see it as a time for recuperation. And it's particularly a time to, you know, to build bridges and to bring customers back to class. And so therefore, I think the customers are not going to be looking for the new and shiny thing next year. You know, and often when we talk about trends, it's about like the big next thing. But I think for more than ever, it's kind of reinforcing health, reinforcing connection, reinforcing recuperation, and particularly, you know, being among other people and being connected. Those really are the big things. And there's, again, you know, the it's very important to not. I think that there's going to be continued technological changes and I think that increasingly that marketplace will become more and more noisy and compete ever harder. You know, when we've got kind of Apple throwing money into classes, we've got, I've mentioned the Pelotons and the Fitbits, but there's so many different big corporations now seeing it as a profit center that it will become quite increasingly difficult to market to a broader audience on the channels that we're marketing now. So it's going to be very important to focus on our social audiences, and particularly on the on highly engaged social audiences, and not be so worried about the breadth of our audience, as well as the kind of intense focus on a group that you could really serve well. And, you know, gradually what's going to happen is as these bigger budgets kind of throw around the internet, it's going to be more and more important to niche down to customers that you can really connect with. So that's particular. We've also seen, I mean, Facebook groups continue to be a really big force for good and are a great way of bringing communities together. So networking within those environments still seems to be very strong and a good trend. And podcasts are increasingly important as a channel. So we've seen a lot of businesses start podcasts for their local communities, not looking to compete on a national level, but increasing popularity and success for podcasts that are meant for your micro audience around your studio. And you might not think it's worth doing, but or that other people have done similar types of content. But increasingly we're seeing that there's a message there that your audience haven't heard and they would love to hear from you and you have a voice. And I think that finding ways to reach your audience and build community around the content you're putting out is going to be more vital than ever, so that you can retain that the audience that is ready for your services.
Yeah, thanks for sharing all of that. Lots of good stuff there. And I think that, yeah, just kind of focusing on and understanding, you know, who your people are, who you're serving, and then how you can serve them best. And I love the idea of, you know, building the community through networking, through things like podcasting, you know, ways that you can keep people engaged that are both kind of online and offline, which kind of allows for a little bit more flexibility with, like you said, the changing restrictions, and then also just, you know, people's comfort levels and those types of things. Cause that's, you know, we're obviously not quite out of this pandemic yet, unfortunately. And so things are shifting and that makes it challenging as a business owner, but kind of looking at, you know, what your clients need from you, what they want, and then trying to respond to that to the best of your ability.
Yes, absolutely.
Amazing. Is there anything else you want to share today, Tim, with regards to, you know, studio ownership, you know, trends that you guys are seeing through Team Up, anything about Team Up in general?
Well, I'd love to tell you a little bit more about Team Up and how it can help you build that studio experience. And I've mentioned that you can now run your studio online, in person, on demand, you know, via Team Up. There are lots of important tools that I think that you'll find really, potentially really useful, depending on the stage of business you're at. So, yeah, I think that in terms of, I mean, in the beginning of the pandemic, you know, we moved really quickly to add online classes and on demand later on. And then recently we just added a full kind of appointment system to the application as well, giving the ability to run online one-to-ones or allow your customers to schedule them. So particularly in terms of trends, I mean, one thing we're trying to do is to keep listening to market and to add features that will help you run your business in the best way possible. And I think that we've covered a huge amount of trends in general. I do think that the trend of new studio owners joining. I hope that if you're somebody who's recently started a new business or somebody who is thinking about starting a new business, that you feel confident in doing so, and that the increased competition in the marketplace and all the noise that's been made in different places will not affect your ability to find a niche and a group of customers who really value what you do. And the great thing about fitness and yoga is that it's a market that is never going to reduce in terms of the number of people who need help. You know, the whole world is looking to get healthier, and particularly at the moment, there's a lot more a huge new market of people who have decided or been scared by the last couple of years, and now are looking to become healthier or to start a new program and or start a shift in their lives, and they're just waiting for you and waiting for your unique spin on things. So I really hope that that everybody out there feels confident and is excited by this next stage, because I really see so many great opportunities and exciting possibilities for everybody to grow and to run the business that they dreamed about.
Amazing. Yeah, thanks for sharing all of that. And if people want to learn more about Team Up or yourself or all that good stuff, where can they go to find that?
The best place to start is on our website, which is goteamup.com. So we have lots of great resources there, particularly around whether it's starting or growing your business or dealing with more complex businesses. So we have a really great resources section, hundreds of case studies and videos and things you can learn from other businesses. So that's goteamup.com. But we'd also love to hear from you on any social channels. We're pretty much Team Up on every single channel. So you'll find us on Instagram and Facebook. Those are the ones we spend the most time on. And you'll find me on there as well. So if anybody wants to reach out, I'd love to hear from you. But primarily, if you go to the website, goteamup.com, you can chat to one of our team there, or you can reach out and you'll find all the contact details you need.
Amazing. Thank you so much for your time today and for having this conversation with me. This has been really interesting and super insightful.
Thank you, Matt. I really appreciate coming on and getting the chance to have this really, really great conversation. I've really enjoyed it. So thank you for having me.
Absolutely. It was my pleasure.
All right, friends, I hope that you enjoyed that episode of the podcast with Tim Green. Make sure you go check him out and see what he is up to. And you can also learn more about Team Up as well. Hopefully you've got some, you know, interesting insights and whatnot from this episode. Of course, a huge shout out to Offering Tree for sponsoring this episode of the show. Make sure you check them out, offeringtree.com/MBO. And of course, if you have any questions about any of their capacities or anything that they do, or if it's right for you, reach out, support@offeringtree.com. And thank you for listening to this episode of the podcast. I'm so appreciative, and I will see you next week. Bye for now.